We're turning to read in the book of the prophecy of Isaiah at the chapter 26. This is a chapter of a song, and it's a wonderful thing to sing the songs of the Lord. And here is one of the songs. In that day, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1, shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city he layeth low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore thou hast visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child, that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so we've been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither hath the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of the herds, and the earth shall cast out the dead. And God will bless the reading of His holy word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank Thee that we possess Thy holy and precious word. What would we do, O God, without this book? Without its truth, without its gospel, without its revelation of Thyself and of Thy great plan of salvation. As we read again in this book, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And help us to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against Thee. Come and visit to us, visit us, and show us Thy good and holy self, that our hearts may rejoice in the Lord and in the power of Thy name. And I take the promise, Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, He undertakes for me. And the people of the Lord said, Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 26. When I rose this morning in London, my mind was directed once again to this great passage of Scripture. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I preached on this text some time ago, and I pointed out how the Rock of Ages is in this text. For that is what Jehovah's everlasting strength is. Jehovah is the Rock of Ages, reading the Hebrew literally. And as I got on to the plane and opened my Bible, I saw here seven great things about God's peace. This is a river, and it's flowing, and its whole emphasis is on peace. Notice first of all the grace of peace. Peace is not something that is worked up. It is not something that is obtained by our efforts and by the strength of our dedication to God. Peace has at its heart and origination grace. What is grace? Grace is God working, not man working. And I thought of all the accommodations and of all the assimilation that man uses to do his work. And then I thought of the wondrous truth that is here in this great text, that God's commodity, that the material God uses for doing His work and having His way, is grace. Grace is the commodity of God. Isn't it a good thing that God's grace is never spent? Isn't it a good thing there's always more to follow? Isn't it a good thing tonight that you never go to God and He's short on this commodity? Thank God, God is as full of grace as ever He was. And there's grace by every debt to pay, blood to take my every sin away. And thank God for God's grace. So get this into your heart tonight, the grace of this peace. The grace of this peace. It's free. It wasn't made by man, but it's been enjoyed by man. It didn't come into being through the efforts of man. It came to us through the efforts of God Himself. The grace of peace. I want to revel in that grace. I want to swim in those great waters that cannot be passed over. I want to stand under the cross and view grace as it bleeds for me in dark Calvary. I want to go to the tomb and I want to see the grace that brought Jesus from the dead. I want to ascend to heaven and hear the Savior pray. And what does He pray? He prays for grace for you and for me in every time of need. Put away your faith and your self-righteousness. Put away your faith in all your religious experience, because all the religious experiences that you have ever had will not take you to heaven. But I'll tell you what will take you to heaven. The grace of peace. The grace of peace. I had a young man in my vestry on Sunday night, troubled in his soul, troubled in his heart, troubled in his mind. And he freely admitted he hadn't Christ. He freely admitted that he was lost. He freely admitted that he needed more than knowing about Christ, that he needed Christ. Thank God, before he left, he discovered the grace of peace. I said to him, young man, have you a Bible? He says, no. So I got him a Bible. He says, I'll read this tonight. I said, I have a little booklet here, A New Beginning. He said, I'll read the whole of that tonight. And I said, you remember this as you read it, that you ask God for what God asked you to ask Him for. Salvation. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God has done something in your heart. He says yes. The wonder of grace. The grace of peace. But if you look at the next part of this verse, you will find it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Keep. That speaks of the gift of peace. God gives a peace that keeps. That keeps. It's as new today as it was yesterday. When you stand on the glory shore for 10 billion trillion years, the grace of God will be as new as it was to you the day you passed on earth from grace, by grace, from death unto life. It's like God, for that's what grace is. It is a production of God. What does God produce? He produces something with all his character in it. They say in St. Paul's Cathedral, when you go round it and look at it, you see the character of the great planner who planned to build it. Well, if you look into your heart and you see the grace that's there by the help of God, what do you see? You see the one who gave it. He's everlasting. He never grows old. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We all change. We all pass through the changes of life. I read a very interesting piece by a man, I think it was in the Guardian today. And he doesn't think much of your preacher. He says, that man is an old, shrunken octogenarian. And imagine people listening to him. I want to tell you, friend, when you have the grace of God, you never grow old. You grow younger every day. You never grow old. Salvation doesn't age a person. Salvation brings youthfulness and zeal and joy and hallelujah victory to the soul. We should be living. We should be living in the gift of peace. Keeps. But then look again and you will find something more. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. There you have the grandeur of this peace. It cannot be improved upon. It cannot be corrected, for it needs no correction. It cannot be added to, for it fills the heart of the infinite, immeasurable God. It is the grandeur of peace. Oh, how grand is that peace. I remember the day that I was saved. I remember it as vividly as I remember what happened 5 minutes ago. And I remembered one thing, that I was overwhelmed with this wonderful, grand peace. Every sin wiped away in the blood of the Lamb. All charges fully answered and fully met, paid for by the blood of Christ. Everything between my soul settled forever. No change, Jehovah knows. And when God takes away your sin, He doesn't take it away to next week, or next month, or next year, or the next millennium. He takes away forever. Forever. Not a sin in the book, as I said on Sunday. God cannot find a sin in His book. For over every page of my sin, I see what Martin Luther said he saw. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. All sin. That's the grandeur of the peace of God. I never have to answer for a sin. When I stand at the great white throne or at the judgment seat to be judged, there'll be no sin even mentioned in my judgment. The books will be open, but the books have across them the cleansing blood. It's all blotted out. My sins are gone. And all the omnipotence of God will never find them, because Jesus blots them out. And when the sins are blotted out, they're gone forevermore. Of course, alas, God's people do not live in the grandeur of God's grace. That's the sad thing. They don't enjoy it every day. Old Paul in the Roman prison said, "Rejoice!" If I put you in prison, you wouldn't rejoice. You're bad enough when you're out, but when you're in, you'd be miserable. You know that's true. But that's not the way we should live as believers. We should live rejoicing. The glory of peace and the grandeur of peace. The grandeur of peace is the perfect peace. But that brings us to the glory of peace. Would you look with me at that verse 3? Thou wilt keep. The next word is in italic. It's not in the Hebrew Bible. In perfect peace. Whose? That word is in italic. It's not in the original. Mind. The word is in italic. It's not in the original. Stayed is there on thee. Read it without those words. I will keep in perfect peace the mind stayed on thee. And that's the truth of that verse. God has a glory in his peace. It's a gift, the grace of peace, and the gift of peace, and the grandeur of peace. But the glory of grace is emphasized in the word stayed, whose mind is stayed. The emphasis of the glory of peace. Well, you can read that word stayed in two ways. You can read it as remaining. It remains. And we often say some visitors we have, they stay far too long. But this is a welcome visitor. Stays forever in your heart. Can never be put out, becomes part of your system. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts of fully rest, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. But the word stayed, of course, in that realm, is about a buttress, a fastening. And thank God for the buttress of grace tonight, and of peace tonight. And when things are bad and they seek to try to topple you, you cannot fall if you're stayed up with God's peace. That's the glory of this peace. If you look again, you'll find here the wonderful Genesis, or genius, rather, of this peace. How does this peace come? It comes because of those that trust in thee. It comes through trust. That's the genius of peace. Do you want peace? Trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. People say to me often, I can't understand it. No, I said, say to them, here is a wonderful plate of the finest food. You don't understand all about that food. where it came from, and how it grew, and how delicious it is. And you could sit all day before a beautiful plate of the most wonderful eating and get no blessing. But if you take your knife and fork and get what my little granddaughter said to me one day, "Let's get stuck in, grandfather." And she got stuck in. And as she filled her little mouth until the potatoes were almost falling from her tongue, she said, "It's lovely, Papa. It's lovely." Of course it is. Take it, the Lord as He is. The Lord wants us to enjoy Him forever. Did you ever sit down and ask yourself this question? What was the longest time you enjoyed God? Be honest about it now. I'm supposed to enjoy Him for Him. How long have I enjoyed God? Some people enjoy God for about 15 minutes in the day. Some might have an hour. But God wants us to enjoy Him every second of every minute of every hour of every day. We should be basking in the enjoyment. Wouldn't it make a great difference to you if you looked as if you were enjoying the Lord? You could do without the Brill Cream, you fellows. The ladies could do without the pepper. I want to just say to you, start enjoying the Lord. When you get up in the morning, say, "Lord, I want to enjoy You. I want to enjoy Your Word, so I'm going to read it. I want to enjoy praying, for I'm going to pray. I want to enjoy telling others about Jesus, I'm going to witness." And have you prayed and read and witnessed, you will be joyful all day. And when you came to put your head down in the pillow at night, you would learn the genius of peace. What is it? The genius of peace is He trusts in thee. Because He trusts in thee. But if you look again, you will find something more in this verse. You will find the emphasis on the gem of peace. And what is the gem of peace? The gem of peace is set forth in those wonderful words, "Trust ye in the Lord forever." Trust in the Lord. Some people, when there's trouble, they run to the telephone and they pick it up and they talk to their best friend. Why did you not ring the phone that's always ready to answer you? Your contact with your Savior. Don't take your burden to man. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And you will learn something. You'll learn, yes, that peace is grace, the grace of peace. You'll learn the gift of peace. You'll learn the grandeur of peace. You'll learn the glory of peace. You'll learn the genius of peace. But you'll also learn the God of peace. Trust in yourself. No. Trust in your experiences. Trust in the prayers that God has already answered. No, trust in Him. Trust in Him. Blessed are those that trust in Thee, because they trust in Thee. And then finally, you'll notice something else that we have here. This peace has a great rock as it's represented. The Gibraltar of peace, we could call it. Now what is that? It says here, the Lord Jehovah is the rock of ages, everlasting strength. No wonder Top Lady wrote the words, rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. The Lord's a rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm, secure whatever ill abide. A shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land. The Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I guarantee to you that if you get into the peace country of the Bible and start reading the Bible looking for the places of peace, you'll find from Genesis to Malachi and from Matthew to Revelation, an overwhelming river of peace that's flowing for you and for me. Do you need cleansing? Wash in that river and you'll be clean. Do you need a lift up? Lay yourself upon those waters and they'll lift you to the heights of God. Do you want refreshment? Then go down and dip yourself like Naaman. And the leprosy will give place to wonderful liberty. For whom the Son makes free, they are free indeed. I trust that these few words of mine tonight will stir you up to seek the grace of peace. And the gift of peace, and the grandeur of peace, and the glory of peace, and the genius of peace, and the gem of peace, and the Gibraltar of peace. And then we shall say, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. But it started with a song. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. I hope you noticed that it ended with a song. And there is a song at the end of this portion of Scripture as well. So it is a never-ceasing song. It lifts our tongue to heaven. And it lifts our tongue to sing the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into life. Verse 19. Awake and sing. So it starts with this song will be sung. And it ends with, in the very valley of death, the song of resurrection shall be heard. May God bless his word to us.